Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. If you want to get away from it all, head to these beaches that aren't so popular. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is September 24th, 2013, and we are on day two of our travel article. You can find it on pages 36 and 37 in your Advanced magazine, and we're visiting some places that are off the beaten path. And what do I mean when they're off the beaten path, Joanna?
Means they're in places that are perhaps less crowded, less accessible, maybe less known.
Yes. So if you're going to a beach that is on the beaten path, very popular, you're talking about maybe Waikiki or Miami Beach. But we're heading off the beaten path. We're going to some places that maybe a lot of our listeners haven't heard about, or maybe they've heard about a little bit but don't really know much about. And there are some great places here. Part of the attraction of going to the beach is getting away not only from the city, but getting away from people, because it's pretty awful going to a beach that is just jam-packed full of people and you don't have much room and there's music playing in three different directions from you and you can't really relax. So we've got some great destinations that you can get away from things. So that was Joanna Wirtz. First, Joanna, let me get a thought from you from yesterday.
Well, I really like the sound of Jacksonville Beach, Florida. Because I've been to some other Florida beaches. Too crowded, too expensive, too noisy, not very pleasant, more of a party scene. And right, that is not my scene. I like quieter, relaxing things. I'm interested in art scenes. Yeah. I'd love to see some other stuff besides the beach when I go visit somewhere.
Yeah. I actually like the city of Jacksonville. It is inland a little bit. It's maybe 8 or 10 miles inland from Jacksonville Beach, but I actually like it. There's a river running right through it, and, you know, it's a different city, so it kind of, you know, gets kind of a ho-hum rating from people, but I actually like this area because it is not so crowded. Lois Fisk is also back here in the studio. And how are you doing, Lois?
Doing great. Ready to pack up and go again.
You like going to the beach, right?
I love going to the beach. If anybody saw me, they would hardly believe that because I'm very fair-skinned, but I love the beach.
Yeah.
And I get, I don't know, I feel peace at the beach.
Now, what did you love about yesterday?
Well, you know what? I'm agreeing with you guys for sure on the Jacksonville Beach. Thinking that my parents who, you know, live up in Toronto, I think I should get them down there. I know they haven't seen that part of Florida. And I really like Lanai, Hawaii as well.
Yep.
But I'm always drawn to Hawaii.
Okay. Well, you've been to Hawaii many times. What's your favorite spot in Hawaii?
Oh, you know what? I like the very, very northern tip of the island of Oahu because people just see Waikiki and Honolulu and dismiss Hawaii, and that's because that's the only place they've ever been in Hawaii. And they get up to the northern part of Oahu, and you want to just stay there.
Yeah, and that's a great idea. So a lot of people, of course, we have to land in Honolulu at the airport, and you can rent a car. It's about a three-hour drive up to that northern tip. But one thing I know about that I remember is that what's really unique are the giant waves.
Oh, yeah.
It is known for some of the biggest waves on Earth, and just watching the waves is just a remarkable sight.
It's just wonderful, and our readers will really like the drive up if you go along the east side and up the coast, because there's great little shrimp places to stop and get a snack or a meal, and wonderful.
Okay. Well, let's do this. Turn to page 37, and we're going to discover some more underrated beaches in America. And the first place we're going is up in the northeastern tip of the country.
York, Maine. This quaint town along Maine's coast is notable for its history, beaches,
and outdoor activities. The 18th century former jailhouse remains, as do historic homes and the Nubble Lighthouse, one of the most photographed lighthouses in the country. York experiences a surge of visitors during the summertime, but it rarely reaches a point of being overwhelming like so many other beach destinations. Tourists flock to the coast, lined by sandy and rocky beaches, and enjoy activities such as swimming, surfing, kayaking, fishing, and even whale watching. Those looking for the area's most secluded beaches may consider heading to York's Cape Nettic, a quiet little beach with views of the lighthouse.
Okay, now Maine is way up there in the northeastern part of the United States. A lot of people don't get to Maine, a lot of overseas travelers. It's a little bit out of the way, right?
It's a little bit out of the way, but if you have family living in New York State, especially in New York City, it's really quite easy to get there, mm-hmm. and it's worth the drive or whatever way you're getting there, Bill.
Yeah, or Boston. Actually, York is actually very close to Boston if you look at a map. Probably take you about an hour, hour and a half to drive from Boston to York, Maine. That's a very short drive, but it is in a completely different world. And so that's why a lot of people don't go there. They don't go to Boston thinking, oh, I want to go to Maine or York, Maine.
Well, they do if they want lobster.
If they want lobster, yeah. So, but this quaint town along Maine's coast is notable for its history, beaches, and outdoor activities. And we learn a little bit about this in our next sentence.
Well, we learned that the 18th century former jailhouse remains, so you can check that out, and other historic homes and the Nubble Lighthouse. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about the Northeast is that it's one of the oldest parts of the country as far as settlements go, and so you can see a lot of very rich history there because that's where, you know, centuries ago the Pilgrims were in, maybe not Maine in particular, but like older cities.
Right. And so if you look there at the picture, down in the bottom of page 37, you see the York, Maine picture and a picture of the lighthouse there. Very typical of this rugged coastline through Maine and up through the North Atlantic states of the United States. Very, very typical site. And it's quite dramatic. It's nice to see these lighthouses, and they're quite beautiful. So, now, York experiences what?
It experiences a surge of visitors during the summertime, but it rarely reaches a point of being overwhelming. So overwhelming meaning like really crowded with other like other beach destinations.
Yeah. So now when you have something, you know, in the summertime, of course, especially on the weekends, people are heading out of the big cities. They're heading out of New York. They're heading out of Boston. They want to get away from things. So I do recommend if you do go to these beach areas, go on a weekday. Go on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Those are going to be your best days to go to these areas. You can avoid the big crowds heading out from the cities. So, and a lot of the people who are heading out maybe aren't necessarily going to the beaches. They're just going to the towns. They want to spend time in the quaint towns because the water is still cold. It's cold up there.
Oh, it's the North Atlantic. It's cold.
So they're not necessarily jumping in the water. We learn a little bit about why the tourists are flocking to this area.
Well, because there's lots of activities they can enjoy, such as swimming, surfing, kayaking, fishing, and whale watching. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. Plenty of whales to see up there, so you can take boat tours. We do see swimming, surfing, and kayaking. And again, you better be a hardy soul to jump in the water up here. It is possible, but just be ready. Or you might want to use a wetsuit.
Yeah, you'll definitely see people with wetsuits.
Yeah, insulate yourself.
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, those looking for the area's most what?
Secluded beaches, and that's one of our vocab words, Bill, mm-hmm. and it means away from people and busy activities and often hard to reach. So you know what? Sometimes my husband and I have gone to these secluded beaches, and you have to have quite the hike to get to them.
Yeah, yeah, and they're rocky and rugged, so but it looks like it's worth it, right, Joanna?
Especially if you've got a few days to spend there. I've definitely been to beaches where I spent the whole day before commuting to them. Mm-hmm. But once you're there, it's worth it, especially if you're not into the crowds. it's really nice to see these types of places.
And for our listeners who might travel to Boston, I do recommend maybe take a couple days and head up to Maine. Maybe if you've got a friend there or relative, you can rent a car and drive up to further up the coast is Acadia National Park, which is quite beautiful. The whole coast of Maine, the state of Maine, is unlike anywhere else in America. It's very different. You almost feel like you go back in time. And one big attraction is if you like lobsters, Maine is the place because they've got all these lobster shacks, what they call them. They are just these like old, you know, wooden, just rundown restaurants just along the coast. And they just, this lobster shack, that is like the only thing on the menu. But what you can do is you can go pick out your lobster and they are huge. So it's worth the visit. Let's now head out to California.
Lake Tahoe, California. Nestled in the Sierra Nevada Mountains, Lake Tahoe is known as a premier ski destination and attracts plenty of visitors heading for the slopes. In the summer, a smaller but equally outdoorsy crowd comes for the hiking, fishing, swimming, and kayaking, all centered around the pristine lake. There are also a few dispersed museums and historic mansions, and hot air ballooning and gondola rides are popular ways of taking in the views.
Now we head to Lake Tahoe, California, don't we, Joanna?
Yes, and that's a place that's normally known as a ski destination.
Mm-hmm. Right. There are some great ski resorts there in Lake Tahoe. It is a beautiful place. There's mountains ringing Lake Tahoe, and when you're up on the mountains, it's just crystal clear blue water, it looks like. And it is nestled in the Sierra Nevada Mountains, right on the border of California and Nevada, near Reno. And we see it is known as a premier ski destination, and it attracts plenty of visitors heading for the slopes. Now, what about in the summer?
Well, Bill, it tells us in the summer, a smaller but equally outdoorsy crowd come upon this place for hiking and fishing, swimming and kayaking.
All right. So we've got the outdoorsy crowd. Are you part of the outdoorsy crowd?
I am not.
Are you part of the indoorsy crowd?
Well, sort of. I'm not into outdoorsy activities. I do like being outdoors, though. Just, okay. You know, full disclosure,
you run.
Full honesty. Yeah.
You run. I mean, you run a good bit, don't you?
I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Do you run, what, 3-5 miles a night?
Not every night, but yeah.
A lot.
I enjoy a jog along the river.
Okay. Are you part of the outdoorsy crowd?
Well, I might have not been when I was Joanna's age, but I married a certain man that's Mr. Lumberjack, so I am now.
Mr. Lumberjack.
You know what? I do all these things. I do them all. Fishing, not so much. It's not something that I do a lot, but I like the hiking, I like the swimming, and I do canoeing rather than kayaking.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like you're doing some stuff. Now, a couple things about this. The summertime in Lake Tahoe is going to be ideal weather-wise because of the elevation. The temperatures are very moderate, so you're going to have some great temperatures to do outdoor activities in the summertime. So it's a good place to get out and about. And pristine lake just means beautiful. Like I said, crystal clear blue waters. One word I want to mention here that Lois said. She called her husband a lumberjack. Lumberjack is a guy who's out in the wood chopping down trees. So that's the job. A lumberjack is a guy like Paul Bunyan is a lumberjack. So, but Michael's not a lumberjack.
No, he just enjoys the outdoors.
All right. Now, we also find out that there are some other things to do there if you're not an outdoorsy person, right?
Well, for people who maybe don't like those activities, there's some
indoorsy person.
I don't know if they're complete opposites. I enjoy the outdoors, but maybe I don't like to hike or sweat in the outdoors. I enjoy to sit, you know, at a cafe outside and drink my coffee and watch other people sweat.
Okay. All right. Please continue.
Yeah. And anyways, for other people. There are museums and historic mansions and hot air ballooning and gondola rides.
Okay, now, first off, few dispersed museums. What do you mean dispersed?
Sounds like there aren't that many, but if you drive around a bit, you can see some. Dispersed means they're not all together. They're kind of spread out a little bit.
Okay. And do you ever go up in a hot air balloon?
I have been the, what do they call it, the tag team for a hot air balloon. And I've gone up with one just roped. But the day I was supposed to go up, the winds changed, so I only got to be the tag team.
Okay. All right. Now, first off, when you go up in the roped hot air balloon, we talked about that last month with Catherine's article, the hot air balloon ride in Hualien. It was tethered. That was the word we used, the specialized term tethered. That's when a balloon is, they've got a rope attached to prevent it from going away. And then when you say tag team, that means that you were in the car, right? You were in the chase car of the balloon. People were up in a balloon, but you were chasing it.
But I was also the person that made sure got part of the prep team who got the balloon ready to go up. So it's quite busy and quite involved.
Okay. And this term here, we see gondola, and it's a specialized term, a container in which passengers travel, especially one hung from a thick wire which moves up a mountain.
And, Bill, we might also hear it pronounced gondola. It's pronounced both ways.
Both ways, that's right. And, of course, we got the Mekong gondola down by the zoo here in Taipei. Now, in Lake Tahoe, you'll see they've got some pretty big ones. They've got a couple of big ones that you can get about maybe 25 or 30 people into that go to the top of the mountains for the ski resorts. So those are used also then for sightseeing in the summertime. Now we head back to the northeast coast of the United States to the state of New York.
Long Beach, New York. A lively beach destination during the 1920s and 30s, Long Beach became a run-down and forgotten spot during the 1940s when airfare became cheaper and years of corruption sullied the town's reputation. In the last several decades, however, the city has undergone promising urban renewal, and though Hurricane Sandy hit the area hard, wiping away the iconic boardwalk, city planners are working hard to get things back up and running as soon as possible. The Long Island Railroad, as well as several bus lines, make it easy to get to the beach from numerous areas of New York.
Okay, this is Bill Quinn, and I've also got Joanna Wirtz and Lois Fisk here in the studio. We are wrapping up our travel article, USA's Underrated Beaches, on pages 36 and 37 in your Advanced magazine. We started out today in York, Maine, in the northeastern part of the United States. We headed out to California. Now we head back east to Long Beach, New York.
Yes, this used to be a lively beach destination during the 20s and 30s, but something changed.
What happened?
It became run down, and also it was forgotten.
Okay, now what do we mean run down?
Okay, we mean weak or in bad condition, but I always think of run down as nobody was taking care of it, so it was just falling apart.
Yeah, so a lot of times you might see maybe restaurants that are in your neighborhood or nearby, you drive by, and at one time they were the happening place, they were the hot spot, but then business got bad and maybe the owners had to close the place up and they, you know, just they boarded it up. And then the building's not kept up for years, and you know, it's falling apart. That's what we mean by run down. This actually happens in a number of places because they're popular for a while, and then the people go somewhere else, take their money somewhere else, and so these places become forgotten. And that was Long Beach during the 1940s. And not only maybe the people were going to other places down the road, but we see another reason why people weren't going there, right?
Well, airfare was becoming cheaper, and people were now able to afford to go to different parts of the country instead of their own local beach.
Right. So you had a lot of people from the New York City area who all of a sudden hey, instead of just driving out to Long Beach, it became hot and popular to get on a plane and fly to Florida and other places like that. That's one reason Long Beach fell out of favor. And then in the rest of that sentence, we see another reason.
Yeah, not the best, eh? Ugh. It said, and years of corruption sullied the town's reputation.
Mm.
Goodness. And when we say sullied, and the root word is sullied, to spoil something that is pure or someone's perfect reputation.
Okay. All right. So it hit some pretty rough times there in Long Beach. But in the last several decades...
Well, the city has undergone some promising urban renewal. So it sounds like people have started taking care of it again and making it look nicer.
Okay. All right. A lot of times what happens is these places become run down and then the real estate prices drop because the money goes elsewhere. And it's interesting, this cycle, how it happens. And it takes a couple of decades. The real estate prices drop because the money's going elsewhere. Then people come back around and they say, oh, beachfront property, coastal town. Now the price is low. And then people start investing back in it again. And now they did have one thing that was kind of a setback for them, right?
Yeah, they sure did. And we'll all remember this from the news reports as they went through Hurricane Sandy, hit mm-hmm. the area very hard and wiping away the iconic boardwalk.
Okay.
And so we see, Bill, that city planners are working hard to get things back up and running and as soon as possible.
Yeah. Okay. So it had this iconic, famous boardwalk there that got knocked out, torn apart. There were several boardwalks in New Jersey, New York area that got wiped out by Hurricane Sandy. I think of, for instance, in Atlantic City and some other places that had some real damage. And so it's a shame because these boardwalks are very nice, but they're working hard to get things back up and running as soon as possible. And now we learn about a railroad.
Well, the Long Island Railroad, as well as several bus lines, make it easy to reach this beach. So this isn't one of those secluded, inaccessible beaches that we've been talking about in other parts of the article.
Right. And considering where New York City is, Long Beach is actually, it's a little bit east of New York City, out on Long Island. And by train, you could probably reach it, I think. It's going to be about an hour by train. And so it's right there. It's very, you know, very close to New York City, very easy. They can just get on the train right there and go to it.
Wow.
So, yeah. So if you're in New York, it's another thing. You don't normally think about going to the beach when you visit New York, but actually a couple of nice beaches are very accessible for you. Now, we see a sidebar there in the bottom right corner, bonus beaches, page 37 there, bottom right corner. First place we head to, where is that, Joanna?
San Juan Island in Washington. The islands are relatively quiet, unknown spots, and it's got a relaxed, back-to-nature vibe. So you'll see a lot of farmlands, evergreen forests, nature trails, whale watching again, and these, you know, small mom-and-pop shops that we like to visit.
Okay. All right. That's out in the Northwest. Now, interestingly enough, the next place we head to is, again, on Long Island. We're back there in New York, but this is out in the far eastern tip of Long Island.
Right. And Bill, I hope I'm pronouncing this right because I'm Canadian and I'm going to pronounce it the French way. I think it's Montauk, New York. Is that correct?
I think it's Montauk.
Or Montauk.
That's how they
say
that, Montauk.
Montauk, New York,
mm-hmm.
Is technically in the Hamptons. So there are a lot of things that set this small town apart. And it sounds very interesting to go there and be at a beach community again.
All right, here. Now, the Hamptons just happen to be these township areas out on the eastern tip of Long Island. There's East Hampton and North Hampton. It's known as a playground for the rich and famous. So you might go there and see Joanna and Lois in the Hamptons hanging around with their tea and fancy hats. But anyways, Montauk is a little bit different from the other quintessential Hamptons. Now, what do we mean quintessential?
Well, just what you were talking about, when we hear about the Hamptons, we think about rich people, nice summer homes, yachts, you know, very, you know, playground of the rich and famous.
Extremely big homes, expensive homes.
I've never visited. I've only seen it on TV, so there you go.
Great Gatsby. All right, everybody, think of Great Gatsby.
Okay.
That'll give you a good idea what we're talking about.
I'm thinking about it right now.
There you go.
In contrast to those things, however, Montauk actually attracts more surfers and fishermen. So this sounds like a little bit more laid back, less fancy, more enjoying the water and the waves and the seafood kind of people.
Okay. Yes. Again, I like that laid back and not so presumptuous then. And now, the last place we go to is back down in Florida, right, Lois?
Right. And we're going to a prime shopping area called Bal Harbour in Florida. And it I've heard of this before because it's a posh Miami suburb. And the pier down on the inlet, it's a nice place to people and bird watch. And I think the idea of also the locals fish there and what you can see of nature sounds wonderful.
We see pelicans. What are pelicans?
They're large birds, and they have a distinctive beak that has like a pouch underneath it, so they can fly down and scoop fish straight out of the water and carry them around. If you've seen Finding Nemo, you've seen a pelican.
All right. I wanted to talk about pelicans because I know our listeners have seen the pelicans but maybe didn't know the word. So they're the ones that scoop up the fish and keep it in that pouch underneath their beak. So,
yes.
Yeah. Now, a couple of other places that are not mentioned in this article that you might want to consider. I can think of right along the coast in the Carolina coast. I actually lived in North and South Carolina for several years, and there are some great places. The most famous place along the Carolina coast is Myrtle Beach, but you can get outside of Myrtle Beach. It tends to get a little too crowded, so there are nice places all along the coast of the Carolinas. What about you, Lois? Can you think of any others?
Well, I believe there are some nice beaches, Bill, in Georgia or some islands just off the state of Georgia that belong to Georgia. That's a nice area as well.
Right. There's Jekyll Island, which is in the southeastern part of Georgia, just north of Jacksonville.
And I've always had a good time at some beaches in New Jersey.
In New Jersey. Anywhere else?
I'm going to say check out some lakes. There's lots of people in the U.S. who do not live near a beach. Mm-hmm. For instance, I lived in Austin, so I was a solid 4 or 5 hour drive from a beach. Mm-hmm. We hang out by lakes. Check out the lakes. Go boating. Enjoy some of that.
Okay. Plenty of opportunities for all of our listeners to check out. Thanks for joining us on this trip around America to the underrated beaches. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill,
Joanna,
and Lois
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.